Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Good morning, good evening, and good night. I'm yours truly, attorney Todd L. Levitt, starting off the show strong with Frankie Goes to Hollywood. Back in the day, early 1980s, relax, jump to it. Great song, great tunage, awesome group, and we'll be playing Frankie Goes to Hollywood coming back from break throughout the entire show here. Sunday morning, right here on 98.5 WUPS. And if you're just tuning in for the first time, as Nick Morissette used to say with me on the show, what took you so long? I mean, really, what took you so long? And if you enjoy any portions of the show and you want to hear some previous shows, I say it all the time, you can catch this show on podcast. It's free. Podbean.com, SoundCloud.com, or trending high on iTunes. It's all free, all on podcast, and I'm really stoked at the response to all of the podcast versions of this show. And in the future, I'm planning on podcasting a number of shows that may not air on the radio, but will be on the podcast. So you'll have to check out all the podcast channels. The show is on all the same three channels. The same show is podcasted on all of those three platforms. 2017, brand new year. We did our new year edition last Sunday with Little John. That was a huge show. Little John was a great guest. Today, I'm going solo, folks. That's right. You have 1 hour minus the commercial time, which, of course, always support our sponsors of the show. I'm going to be here talking in studio, and I have a lot to get to, a lot of information. During this show, I will be discussing some of the expected regulations as it relates to the Facilities Licensing Act that was passed here in Michigan. What are some of those expected regulations? Because I get calls all the time. When's the marijuana board going to be created? And what are they going to be doing? What type of regulations are they going to be drafting that will be implemented and have a major, control over how we operate our facilities? So we'll be talking about that. We'll be talking a little bit about some drinking and driving laws that just came down from the Court of Appeals. Unbelievable law. Wait till you hear this story, folks, in regards to whether or not, if you operate a motor vehicle in your own driveway, for instance, from the garage where the vehicle is parked to the edge of the driveway where it meets the sidewalk or roadway, can you be charged and convicted of drinking and driving under the current statute as it stands? So we'll be answering that question. And a lot more information. And we're going to start off this show with another complaint. This complaint, folks, this is one of my biggest pet peeves. All right. Every week I have a complaint. Last week it was about the elevator and how I got into a dispute with the lady at the elevator because when I entered the elevator, she would not push the button for the floor that I wanted. And I rode it all the way up to the top and back down. This week is a major complaint. With the holidays and Christmas and New Year's that just passed, a lot of you, including myself, went out to dinner, lunch, went to a family event, and possibly, as I did, took some food home with you or leftovers. In my case, I was at a restaurant and I had a dessert. And it was actually in Metro Detroit. It was a fresh baked seven-layer cake. And folks, if you've never had seven-layer cake, I highly recommend you go to a bakery and check out seven-layer cake. So I went to this event, Metro Detroit, and I was full. For dessert, they offered seven-layer cake, freshly baked seven-layer cake. And I said, sure, I'll take some to go home. So I brought it back home, and it was sitting in my refrigerator. Fast forward 2 days. I had one of my relatives over the house, and I happened to be not at home. And this individual was watching the animals. A couple hours goes by. I come home. The individual takes off. Yada, yada. Later that evening, I'm getting ready to watch some of the bowl games. And I go into the fridge to find my seven-layer cake. And it was gone. The individual house-sitting had consumed every crumb of that seven-layer cake that I brought back up north from Metro Detroit. Now, here's my complaint. If you're at somebody's house, a guest, overnight, house-sitting, babysitting, and look, more often than not, the homeowner or your relative or whoever you're there watching a house for will say, yeah, help yourself. Help yourself to soda. You know, there's bread, tuna, peanut butter, whatever you want in the freezer. I don't care. But it's common knowledge that if there is one of something that's all by itself, for instance, if there's 8 hot dogs in a pack and there's one hot dog left in the refrigerator, that tells me that you cannot have that hot dog. That hot dog belongs to the homeowner, and there's no way I'm going to consume the last hot dog without permission. Or I'm going to call them up and say, hey, Todd, I'm really hungry. I see you have one hot dog left. Can I have the hot dog? Let's talk Pop-Tarts. I love Pop-Tarts. I don't eat Pop-Tarts because a lot of sugar, although I would love to go buy some Pop-Tarts. If there's, you know, strawberry, apple, cinnamon Pop-Tarts in your house sitting, you know, you're not supposed to take the last Pop-Tart. Or the last Lucky Charms. If there's one bowl of Lucky Charms left and you're house sitting or babysitting, there's no way you should be consuming that last bowl of Lucky Charms. In my case, my house sitter consumed this delicious seven-layer cake that I methodically drove back 3 hours from Metro Detroit and was so looking forward to consuming. And I called the person out on it. I called the person on the phone. I'm not going to tell you the name of the individual. And I said, are you kidding me? Are you really kidding me? And they were dumbfounded. They had no idea what I was talking about. And I said, does seven-layer cake strike an accord with you? And they go, oh, yeah, Todd, that was unbelievable. Where did you get that? And at that point, I was just, I couldn't continue the conversation. I said, I got to go. So that's my complaint, folks. I mean, it's common courtesy. If you're at someone's house, how do you take the last of anything that's that delicious? You just don't do it. You just don't do it. I mean, seven-layer cake, the person could have had maybe 2 layers and left me 5, but this individual consumed the entire seven-layer cake. So the moral of the story is don't take, if you're house sitting at my house, do not consume the very last of whatever it is that's left over. Like, let's say for Christmas, someone got you one of those boxes of candy, chocolates. Like, there's different types of chocolates, and there's only 1 or 2 left. You absolutely should not take the last 2 without asking the homeowner, can I have the last 2? That's just my complaint. And I think it's a valid complaint. And we are a law show, but I was so upset about my seven-layer cake that I had to complain about it. And hopefully our 80 listeners, because we now have 80 listeners, they're still tuning in to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show, which comes to you each and every Sunday morning right here from 9 to 10 a.m. on 98.5 WUPS. And be sure to download the app from the App Store. It's free. It's an amazing app. Mike and Norm do a great job with that app. And so does everybody at the station. And folks, you can also catch the show on podcast. I say it over and over. Coming up in the rest of the show, we're going to get to some updates on the regulations that are expected to hit the state of Michigan in regards to the Marijuana Facilities Licensing Act. And we're going to talk about a recent decision from the Michigan Court of Appeals in regards to whether or not it's legal to drink and drive in your own driveway. So we'll be right back after this break and a word from our sponsors. Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Coming back strong with Frankie Goes to Hollywood. Relax. Relax, don't do it when you want to go to it. Relax, don't do it when you want to come. Bow, bow, bow. Love that tune. Taking me back to the early 1980s, hanging out in Metro Detroit, going to Harpo's, the Ritz, Lenolte's, Premier Center, Spanky's. Man, I can go on and on. Growing up in Metro Detroit, very privileged to be able to hang out at some of those rock and roll clubs back in the day. New York, New York, which was off of, I think, Mound Road. I used to love going to the Ritz and seeing Bittersweet Alley and Seduce and all those great local hair bands of the, you know, early 1980s before it all just exploded with Motley Crue and Poison, all those great bands. Guns N' Roses, my all-time favorite Guns N' Roses. I used to listen to Led Zeppelin. I still do AC/DC, Pink Floyd, The Doors. One of my all-time favorite groups, The Kinks. Love The Kinks. You know, love The Kinks. Okay, question. Before we get to some of these regulatory issues here under the Facilities Licensing Act, the question is, if you're operating a motor vehicle in your own driveway and you've consumed alcohol, can you be charged with drinking and driving? Can you be charged with drinking and driving? That's the question. So there was a case in Michigan whereby a homeowner, after consuming some alcohol, got behind the wheel of his or her motor vehicle, sat in a driveway with the car running, playing loud music. The neighbor, believe it or not, this came out in the case, the neighbor did not like the music that the person was playing sitting in their own driveway and called law enforcement. Law enforcement arrives on the scene, talks to the person in the motor vehicle, says, turn down the music. The person says, okay, I'll turn down the music. As soon as the officers leave, what happens? The individual turns the music back up. And once again, the neighbor called the police, and they come back out. So that's the issue. What happens next is, after an investigation, the officers placed the homeowner under arrest for drinking and driving. That's right, folks. Drinking and driving in your own driveway. So that individual was placed under arrest. Now think about it. Is it private property or is it public property? That's the question at hand. Sitting in your own driveway, public versus private. So what did the Michigan Court of Appeals rule? That's what we're going to get to in a few minutes here after we get to some expected regulations. Sorry, folks, on little tease there for later on in the show. Let's get to some expected regulations. And by the way, I'm still upset over my 7-layer cake. Do not come to my house and house-sit my animals and eat the last of a delicious, scrumptious dessert that is sitting by itself in my refrigerator without asking first. Don't even ask. I mean, if you're going to someone's house and there's a delicious lemon meringue pie sitting there or apple pie, don't even assume that you can have the last piece. Unless, I mean, you're at your parents' house. And then you may not want to ask because it's your mom and dad's house. I mean, if one of my kids did that, would I be upset? Sure. But in this case, as I said during the first segment, somebody that I invited to my house was watching my dogs consumed the last piece of my seven-layer cake. So let's get to some regulations. State of Michigan is putting together right now a marijuana board consisting of five individuals, and soon they will start creating administrative rules. And those rules are going to establish the following, okay? Minimum levels of insurance for licenses. State of Michigan, you will be able to obtain one of five licenses. One, to grow. Two, to process, which is extraction manufacturing. Three, to have a dispensary, otherwise known as a provisioning center, secure transportation, or a safety compliance facility, which is known as an independent testing laboratory. So the state of Michigan is going to start putting forth regulations on the minimum levels of insurance that will be required for each of these licenses. And I'm pretty sure there's two types of insurance that's going to be required. As far as the levels of insurance, that's what they're going to regulate. What else are they going to regulate? Operating regulations for each of these classifications to ensure the health, safety, and security of not only the facility operations, but the products within those facilities. And that's been a concern of a lot of municipalities out there. If we grant a license, who's going to keep track of the health and safety? Well, look, there's federal and state and local regulations and ordinances that are in place to control health and safety, especially if you're at a restaurant where there's food, or, you know, under the Disabilities Act. I mean, there's all kinds of federal laws out there and state laws that ensure the health and safety of its workers and employees. Minimum qualifications and restrictions for persons involved in the operation of the marijuana facilities. I'll say it again, minimum qualification and restrictions for persons involved in the operation of these facilities. For instance, the statute by itself right now says if you've been convicted of a misdemeanor within the last 5 years, more than likely, and I will say you will be excluded from applying for a license. Felony, 10 years. So there's going to be a lot of restrictions. Not everyone is going to be able to apply for a license. And folks, by the way, if you are somebody who will be excluded from obtaining a license and you plan on going into business with somebody who can qualify for a license, the state of Michigan is still going to track who the investors are, possibly where the funds are coming from. I mean, the state of Michigan is going to have their hands on these issues. So in regards to the qualifications regarding the operation of the facilities, as I said, if you have certain convictions, criminal convictions, you will be excluded. You will not be able to apply for a license. There are a lot of people out there who are saying, okay, I may not be able to apply for the license. I will have person A and B who are eligible to apply for a license, have a clean history, apply for the license. I'll be behind the scenes and just put up the money. Well, folks, the state of Michigan is going to require in detail who your partners are, who you're doing business with, who your employees are, what's their background, full background checks. It's going to be highly regulated. The marijuana board is also going to regulate daily purchasing limits. Daily purchasing limits. They're going to regulate maximum THC standards for infused products. I get this question all the time. People call my office. What's going to be the maximum THC standards for infused products? I tell people, I don't know. We're still waiting on that. The board is going to regulate waste management, quality control, and chain of custody standards, and the statewide tracking of all marijuana transfers. All marijuana transfers. Under the Michigan Marijuana Facilities Licensing Act, every single plant, every single, folks, gram of medical marijuana will be tracked from seed to sale, okay? And the state and the statute is requiring an internet database statewide monitoring system to track the movement of all marijuana on a 24-hour, 365-day basis. And that's to ensure that only registered patients purchase the medical marijuana and not an amount in excess of the limits that they're going to establish under the act. So the new board, by the way, will consist of five members appointed by the governor, not more than three of whom can be members of the same political party and who serve for a term of years. And they're going to be responsible again for the licensing, regulating, and enforcing the regulatory system established for the growth, processing, testing, and transportation of medical marijuana under the Michigan Marijuana Facilities Licensing Act. And that's being done under LARA. And a lot of you know what LARA is out there. That's the licensing agency here in Michigan. Now, let's talk about zoning and ordinances. Municipalities, folks, can adopt their own zoning regulations, but they cannot regulate the purity, which will be regulated by the board, or pricing of the medical marijuana. Okay? That's important to know. So, albeit local municipalities can adopt their own zoning regulations because they have some sovereignty here, but they cannot regulate the purity or the pricing of medical marijuana. So I've got some more updates on this after we come back from break. But when we come back from break right here on the Todd Levitt Law Show, we're going to give you the answer to the question, if you're drinking and driving in your own driveway, is it private? Is it public? And can you be convicted? We're going to answer that first and foremost when we come back from break. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Frankie Goes to Hollywood. Relax, jump to it. Taking us way back to the early 1980s with that one. Hey, before we went to break, we were discussing some of the new regulations and also the issue as to whether or not it is lawful to drink and drive in your own driveway. First and foremost, folks, do not drink and drive. Always drive sober and plan ahead with a designated driver. I'm not advocating drinking and driving, albeit in the state of Michigan, the legal limit is, you could be charged at a .08. But I've seen cases where some prosecutors have charged individuals with a .07. But I have, I would argue that it's not allowed under law unless it's zero tolerance. If you're under the age of 21, Michigan is a zero tolerance state. You could be 19 years of age, consume one glass of wine, get stopped, blow a .04, which is 4 points under, which is, under the legal limit as if you're 21 and older, and be charged with the zero tolerance charge. So, which is to me similar to impaired driving, less fines and less license sanctions. But for purposes of driver's license sanctions, if you obtain later on an operating while impaired, visibly impaired, together with that zero tolerance, if the two are within 7 years, the state of Michigan will revoke your driving privileges. So let's get to that Court of Appeals case. The Michigan Court of Appeals recently, folks, ruled that it is not legal to drive a car in your own driveway while drunk. Did you hear that? If you are drinking and your blood alcohol is 0.08 or higher and you're driving a vehicle in your own driveway, you could be convicted of drinking and driving, which this case must go up to the Supreme Court. I completely disagree with this. So that's what the Michigan Court of Appeals literally, folks, ruled in a case. You could look it up, People versus Rea, R-E-A. I'm going to give you the site so you could put it on your Google. People versus Rea, 315 Mich App, 151. So it's 315 Michigan Court of Appeals, 151. Okay. 151 indicates the page number, 315, the volume. So in this case, after having a lot to drink, this defendant decided he wanted to listen to some music. So he drove his car from his garage to a point in his private driveway, which I say is private, in line with his house. The neighbor didn't like the defendant's taste in music, called in the police to complain about the music. The police respond to the 911 call. Obviously, it wasn't Frankie Goes to Hollywood, because who would complain about Relax, Jump to It from Frankie Goes to Hollywood? If I had a neighbor that was just, you know, kicking it, turning and burning it, and just blaring some AC/DC, I would not call the cops. I would call a party and have everybody over. But in this case, when the police arrived, the defendant was seated in the driver's seat with the driver's side door open. And according to the court's opinion, the vehicle was parked deep in the defendant's driveway next to his house. Well, the one officer told the individual to turn the music down, and as I said in the last segment, and then left. At some point, the neighbor called again, and when one of the officers returned, he could not see the defendant's car. The neighbor called a third time, and when the police arrived again, the officer observed that the garage door was open and the defendant's vehicle backed out for about 25 feet before stopping within the defendant's yard and property. And then the defendant then pulled the car back into the garage. He was arrested as he walked towards his house. And folks, the Michigan Court of Appeals has ruled that it is unlawful to drink and drive in your own driveway. So the law in Michigan provides in part that a person, and this is 257.625, so this is under the Motor Vehicle Code, Michigan Compiled Laws, MCL, under the Motor Vehicle Code. Anything that's coded 257, folks, indicates it's under the Michigan Motor Vehicle Code, 0.625. Provides in part, a person, whether licensed or not, shall not operate a motor vehicle upon a highway or other place open to the general public or generally accessible to motor vehicles, including an area designated for the parking of vehicles within this state if the person is operating while intoxicated. So basically, a person, whether licensed or not, first of all, you shouldn't operate a motor vehicle if you're not licensed, obviously, shall not operate a motor vehicle upon a highway or other place open to the general public. So right off, as you're reading the statute, the issue is going to be whether or not the place was open to the general public or generally accessible to motor vehicles. So the lawyer for the defendant, thinking that the law did not apply and did not cover a driveway, filed a motion to dismiss, arguing that the person's driveway, as I said, is not generally accessible to motor vehicles. So that would be that's my guess, and I still disagree with the Court of Appeals. That's why we have a Michigan Supreme Court. But if you, in analyzing the facts and applying to this law, the court first established that a residential driveway is public property, according to, you know, the law. Did you hear that, folks? The court ruled that a residential driveway is public property. I completely disagree. Again, I didn't create the law. They ruled. The court then goes on to indicate in its opinion that reasonable fact finders could not differ that the portion of the driveway close to one's home is not open to the general public because members of the general public are not generally permitted to access this portion of one's driveway. So basically, the Court of Appeals, I feel they usurped the mind of a juror. I think it should be, although this is an issue of law and judges determine issues of law, juries determine facts, folks. Say this is where it gets clouded if you're a layperson. Well, why would not a jury decide whether or not a driveway is open to the public? That is because the attorney filed a motion that is arguing matters of law, and a juror who is a layperson is not an individual with a law degree, albeit there are lawyers that sit on juries. But when it comes to matters of law, us attorneys, we file motions, and the court and the judge determines the rule of law. So in this case, the court is saying that, you know, a reasonable fact finder, which I would argue is a juror, could not differ, and that they felt that the driveway is open to the public, which I completely disagree with, And the court distinguished this portion of the driveway, indicating that it is a place accessible to a small subset of the universe of motor vehicles. You know, those belonging to the homeowner or those using the driveway with permission. Okay, that does not mean if you're a homeowner or someone gives you permission that it's open to the entire world. I do not agree with their interpretation in regards to this case. Folks, if you're just tuning in for the first time, I'm attorney Todd L. Levitt, and we're discussing a recent Michigan Court of Appeals case where they ruled that it is unlawful to operate a motor vehicle while drinking and driving, on your own driveway. So that's just ludicrous. That's just wrong. I mean, how many of you out there have heard of stories where somebody has been pulled over as they pull up to their drive? But again, if the officer followed that individual on a roadway open to the public, the Court of Appeals is now ruling if the officer approaches you in your driveway, let's say the officer did not follow you, but the officer is driving by your house now, sees you in your driveway with the automobile running, according to the Michigan Court of Appeals, that officer, if they have some kind of probable cause to approach you in the first place, because I would argue there's some Fourth Amendment issues there that, you know, you're coming on my private property. But then again, according to the Court of Appeals, they just ruled that the driveway is not private property, that it's open to the public. I don't know. There's some conflict, and I feel there's some Fourth Amendment conflict there. So if the Court of Appeals is ruling, folks, that you know, you could be arrested for drinking and driving in your own driveway because it's accessible to the public, therefore it's not private, I still feel that, you know, there may be some Fourth Amendment issues there in regards to illegal search and seizure. But in the case that we just discussed, a neighbor called 911 complaining of music, so the officer did have a legitimate right to be present at this time. But if an officer is just driving by, you're sitting in your driveway minding your own business, yes, maybe your blood alcohol is 0.08, you're listening to music, and the officer approaches you for no reason whatsoever, albeit, you know, the Court of Appeals says that's a, you know, public driveway, I would still argue that there may be some Fourth Amendment issues there to illegal search and seizure. What was the probable cause for you approach me in the first place, whether it's private or public? Strong issue, still has to be decided, probably has been decided somewhere. I just got to do some research. We have to go to break. We're going to finish strong with some more facilities licensing updates right here on the Title 11 Law Show. Going solo today. We'll be right back. Todd L. Levitt Law Show. We're going to finish this segment strong, folks. That's right. We're going to finish strong. And we've had a huge show. I mean, if you miss any portion of this show, I highly suggest that you check it out on iTunes, Podbean, or SoundCloud. Listen to the podcast. It is free. We just discussed an interesting Court of Appeals ruling where you could be found guilty of drinking and driving in your own driveway. And at the end of the segment, I threw in some Fourth Amendment issues there to mix it up somewhat. And I think I'm somewhat correct on that Fourth Amendment issue there in relation to the way I presented it at the end of the segment. You'll have to catch on podcast to hear what I was talking about. Also earlier in the show, we discussed some of the regulations that the Marijuana Board is going to be putting forth over the next year. And now I would like to talk a little bit about, folks, the revenue that the local municipalities and the communities are going to receive as a result of these new laws being passed. So the opportunity for revenue is huge, and municipalities may impose an annual fee up to $5,000. So people ask me all the time, Todd, if I am able to obtain a license to open up a provisioning center, what is the maximum amount that the local municipality can charge me? Well, folks, if you're running a municipality, you could charge up to $5,000 per license to defray the associated administrative and enforcement cost. And a lot of local communities, that's their concern. How are we going to enforce this with law enforcement? I would tell you, local municipalities, you're not going to have to worry about all of these facilities and licenses because the state of Michigan is going to have tight regulations on everyone. Will there be people breaking a law? Yes. So, yes, local law enforcement will still have to do their job because someone's always going to blow it for everybody else. But up to $5,000 per license is a lot of revenue for some of these smaller communities. Now, the Michigan Marijuana Facilities Licensing Act creates this fund into which 60% of the funds are distributed locally. That's right, 60% of these funds are distributed locally. So the funds in the marijuana fund will be generated through a 3% tax on the gross retail receipts of all provisioning centers. That's a lot. And is dispersed at the close of each fiscal year in the following manner. So how are those funds going to be distributed? Well, municipalities are going to get 25% of the fund. 25% of the fund. Municipalities in which the medical marijuana facilities are located are allocated a 25% share of the fund in proportion to the number of facilities within the municipality. And the counties are going to get 35% of the funds. The counties in which the medical marijuana facilities are located are allocated 30% of the fund in proportion to the numbers of facilities, plus another 5% is directly allocated to the county sheriff. So folks, law enforcement officers out there, if you need some information, check out the show, the Todd L. Levitt Law Show, or call me at my office. I'm happy to consult. I have been consulting over the past 3-4 months with a number of municipalities to the north. And I've also spoken to some prosecutors just in, you know, a loose conversation about my opinion on things and where things are going. But the county sheriff is going to also be able to tap into this fund, 5%. And that could add up. If you're a larger community, and depending upon the number of licensed facilities, you're going to have revenue, revenue for law enforcement, all kinds of revenue. So it's a good thing, folks. And I know a lot of communities that could use this revenue, no doubt about it. So there's a lot of exciting things that are going to be happening throughout 2017. MIPs in the state of Michigan are going to become civil infractions. The speed limit's going to increase. Patients are going to get their medicine. And there's going to be a lot of positive things happening, not only in the state of Michigan, but around the country. See, I'm an optimist. When I hear politicians on TV claiming, oh, you know, jobs are down and this country's in bad shape, I disagree. And I'm not talking Democrat, Republican, Independent here. I work with the people every day. The people of the state of Michigan are hardworking men and women. And I represent a lot of, you know, individuals who work on the pipelines. They're iron workers, they're welders, they're directional drillers, they're loggers, they're farming, they're dairy farming, cattle, crop farming. I represent a lot of construction people, a lot of union people. And, you know, every people in Michigan, we work hard. And look, every state can claim that they work hard. But there's a work ethic in the state of Michigan that is just outstanding. And I see it every day. So when I see politicians on TV, regardless of which party they're in, saying, oh, the workforce is decimated, there's no jobs, I disagree. Because, you know, yeah, yes, are there men and women who need jobs? Yes, there are. But from my point of view and my standpoint, you know, we have some great skilled workers in this state. And they're working, and they're working hard. And look, the infrastructure, I like what Trump says, and that he's going to rebuild the infrastructure. That's going to even create more jobs. I mean, I love hearing that, because we do need our bridges and our roadways and our airports and our water supplies, a.k.a. Flint. We need things rebuilt. It's time to rebuild the infrastructure. So, you know what really gets my crawl? This is what gets me here. Look, I support law enforcement 100%. As a defense attorney, do I go up against the men and women that are part of law enforcement? Absolutely. But at the end of the day, we're both just doing our jobs. But here's what gets me. If you're in a big city, like Metro Detroit, for instance, and you're on 275, 175, 94, 696, during rush hour, okay? If somebody is speeding and an officer pulls you over, okay, that officer is going to back traffic up for miles. One individual pulled over on 275 heading towards Metro Airport will back traffic up for 2 to 3 miles, all because of speeding. Look, I know, you know, again, law enforcement is just doing their job. But on 275, people are hauling tail as it is. Now, if somebody's going 90 to 100 or even, okay, look, the speed limit's 70. Hopefully it's going to be raised to 75. If somebody's exceeding the speed limit, reckless, putting other drivers' lives in danger or their passengers, yes, they have to pull them over. But I would like that officer to pull the person over and guide them to an off-ramp. But when an officer who's just doing their job pulls them over during rush hour right there on the side, that traffic's being backed up for miles. We've all been part of this. So I don't know. I would just like to get an officer on the show to talk about that specific issue because it's all happened to us and we've all seen it. For instance, you know, you'll be backed up for 2 miles going, oh my God, hopefully no one's hurt up ahead. And then as you get closer and closer, you see someone's pulled over for something. It's like, are you kidding me? They got pulled over 5:30 Metro Detroit traffic. I don't know. I don't know if that was necessary, but in some cases it probably is. Folks, what a show. What a show. I appreciate you tuning in. I am attorney Todd L. Levitt and Mount Pleasant, Michigan's very own. I practice criminal defense all over the state of Michigan, from mid Michigan all the way up to the top corners of the UP. And I specialize in everything cannabis. So I consider myself to be a cannabis business attorney. And yes, we will be putting on a conference coming up sometime in February. Stay tuned right here on the Todd L. Levitt Law Show for more information regarding that. I hope everybody out there has a healthy, safe Sunday afternoon or whichever day you're listening to the show on podcast. And remember, you were born to live, so get out there and start living. Until next week, I'm not just a litigator, I'm an advocator. Frankie, take us out.
The Todd L. Levitt Law Show is brought to you by Chad Melly Well Drilling in Rosebush, Clark Modular Homes, your most experienced and trusted builder in Mount Pleasant, Harrison Power Sports, Central Michigan's newest full-line Arctic Cat dealer, and by Innovative Insulation Systems. For those cold and hot days, make sure your insulation pays.